Let's go to Judges chapter number 6 tonight. Judges chapter 6, let me just start reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till they came unto Gaza, and left no substance in Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. And they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat on the oak, which was an Ophrah, pertaining unto Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us, and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him, and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, my Father, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to look into your word tonight, Lord. And God, I pray that you just still our minds, Lord. God, I pray that you give us hearing ears and attentive hearts, Lord. And God, I pray the Holy Spirit would just have liberty and free course to take the truths of your word, Lord, and accomplish the work that you'd have done here tonight, Lord. God, I ask, Father, that you'd help me as we stand, Lord. We know that without you, we can do nothing. God, we ask for your help now, Lord. And God, just be honored and glorified tonight, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in the book of Judges, there is an ongoing or recurring theme that you're just going to continually see through this. It always starts with Israel is serving God. But then, because of their lack of separation, they start sinning against God. They start serving idols. And so they're serving God, and then they start sinning against God. And when this happens, they start suffering. You look in our text, God delivered them into the hand of the Midianites for 7 years. And so once they start suffering, we see their supplication. They start crying out to the Lord. I mean, you look in verse number 6, it says, The children of Israel cried unto the Lord. It took 7 years for this to happen. I mean, they've been persecuted for 7 years before they ever turned and cried out to the Lord. It took 7 years for them to repent, to come to the place when they realized we can't help ourselves. It's going to be God if we get any help. And so once they start crying out to God, we see their salvation. We see God raises up a judge or deliverer that delivers them from the enemy. Now, once this judge dies and passes off the scene, this whole cycle starts again. When they're delivered from the end, they start serving God again. But after a while, they start slipping back into sin. And so the chastening hand of God comes back on them. And then they start crying out to God for deliverance. And God delivers them. They start serving God. And it's just an ongoing vicious cycle that they never get out of. And it's sad to say, I see a lot of God's people, they're in that same vicious cycle. I mean, they want to do good, they're serving God, but then the pull of this world and their lack of separation, they get caught in the things of this world, the chastening hand of God comes upon their life, and it may take 6 weeks, it may take a year, but then they start crying out to God, they repent. And then God delivers them from whatever they're being in bondage to, delivers them, and they start, but then they just go right back in the same cycle. And so that's the theme that you see with the children of Israel in the book of Judges. But in our text, we see Gideon is going to fight an enemy the Midianites. And I want you to notice some things about the enemy. Look at verse number 2. It says, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, the caves, and the strongholds. Here's what I see. I see the enemies destroyed their homes. Verse number 4. It says, they encamped against him and destroyed the increase of the earth. They've destroyed their increase. Here's what would happen. Israel would go out, they would till the ground, they would labor, they'd plant their seed, they'd water it, they'd do all the work. But then when harvest time came, guess what happened? The enemy would show up and would take everything they had. And they were left with nothing. They're seeing no benefits to their labors, if I could say it that way. And so the enemy's destroying their homes, destroying their increase. But then in verse 5, it's destroying their land. The latter part of verse 5 says this, and they entered into the land to destroy it. They would come in and invade their land, and they would just take everything and destroy everything in their path. You can do the math, and I won't turn on this, but you could go to chapter 8, verse number 10, and you can start doing the math with how many people were left when Gideon pursued, with how many died. And there was 135,000 Midianites. That was how many would come up, and they would just take everything. And nothing was left for Israel. And in the end, they're impoverished and they're leading miserable lives. Now, we have an enemy today in Satan that is doing the same thing. The devil wants to destroy our homes. The devil would love nothing more for my home to be out of order. Listen, and I'm not turning to all these. We know that the husbands be the head of the home. The devil would love nothing more than to see my home out of order. He wants to destroy my children. Here's what the devil wants for my children. He wants the world to get their hearts. That's what it all comes down to. Because he knows if he can get their heart, he'll have them. If he can get my sons, if he can get their heart, when there comes a point when they can step out in life and they get to make their own decisions, what they want to do, if he can get their heart and get them to love the things of this world, guess where they're going? They're going to the world. He knows that. He wants to destroy our homes. He wants to destroy the family altar. Brother Brian mentioned to them, there is nothing fault more in your home if you're trying to do it than a family altar. See, here's what happens. At that point, you're teaching your kids the importance of the Word of God. The devil wants to make sure the Word of God has no influence on them. And so he fights against that. He wants to destroy our homes. He wants to destroy our increase. He wants to keep the Word of God from accomplishing what it would, if I could say it that way. He wants to discourage you. He wants to discourage you to where you get to the point, you know what? There's no point telling people. See, you know the parable of the sower and the seed? The devil comes, he would snatch that seed before it could get in their heart. You know what he's doing? He's trying where they're getting to the place that we see no benefits from our labors. And it happens today. We invite people to church, we witness to them, and the devil's snatching that seed. And so here's what we're doing. We don't see any benefit to it. And here's what we think. There's no point trying. He wants to destroy our increase just as he did them. He wants to destroy our land. I mean, you just look. I mean, I'm telling you, we're in a mess. I mean, we're legalizing sin and sodomy. We're justifying murder with abortion. There is false doctrine. It's just as rampant on everywhere you go. I mean, it's just unbelievable. The Word of God says that we're living in the last days will be perilous times. And you talk to most people, and here's what they tell you. We're in a prosperous age. We're deceived. Just how Gideon had an enemy that wanted to destroy their homes, their increase in their land, we have an enemy that wants to destroy our land, our increase in our homes. And the only way that Gideon is going to be able to deliver Israel is going to involve a battle. He's going to have to fight. And he can't do it alone. He's going to have some other people get involved to help him. He needs help fighting the Midianites. And I'm going to tell you, if we're going to deliver our homes and see benefits to our labors and fight for our country, you know what? We need help. We can't do it alone. And see, here's something the devil wants to do. The devil wants to isolate you. You go, a lion, I tell them in Sunday school this morning, that's what a lion does. He isolates his prey. He wants to get his prey away from the pack so that he can devour it and come after it. He goes after the weak. He does the same thing with us. The devil ever start telling you, I just don't fit in out there. Hey, they don't need me out there. I just don't fit in. You know what? I can do it myself. I don't need them. You know what that is? That is the devil planting those seeds in your mind that he can get you isolated away from God's people. I see it in the prison all the time. We have men in there, and I mean, they just come and they get upset with somebody. And so what they do, they just part ways with. And those are young men. He came faithfully to service. Just a good guy. I really liked him. Came faithfully, sir, but he had a problem with another man in there. And so you know what he did? He got upset, and so he just isolated himself from everything. That man's gone now, but you know what? He still ain't back in church. All that was the devil was using a little argument to isolate him, get him away from God's people, and you know what? He destroyed him. The devil wants to isolate us. Here's what I'm saying. We need each other. We are in a battle, and we need help. We need one another. Gideon is going to sound the trumpet. Look at chapter 6, verse 34. It says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who was also gathered after him. And he sent messengers into Asher, and to Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. Came up to meet them. And so Gideon has sounded the trumpet. Hey, we are going to battle. We're going to fight the enemy. We're going to try to deliver our land, our nation, our people, our homes. And there's 32, and we'll look at it here, man. There's 32,000 people show up to battle. They weren't forced to fight. They just willingly volunteered. They hated the enemy. They hated everything that was taking place. Gideon, we want to fight with you. We want to help you. But when we get to chapter 7, God's going to show Gideon that he can't go fight with all of them. He's going to show Gideon who he needs to go to battle with. And see, who you go to battle with is very important. I want you to notice something. Go back to chapter 6, verse 14. It says, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Gideon, notice that phrase, you're going to save Israel. Now, look at chapter 7, verse number 7. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand. See, Gideon's success or his failure in the work of the Lord is going to be determined by the men that he goes to battle with. You can't go to battle with everybody. God's going to tell him, hey, these are the men. You're going to go into a battle, but this is the group you've got to have. They're going to save you. See, when we go to battle, we're all have the potential to be a casualty. Had Gideon went to battle with his 32,000 men, you know what? The outcome would have been a lot different. Safety is not surrounding yourself with a multitude of people. Safety is surrounding yourself with men of character and women of character. It's not about the majority. It's not about how many people. It's about the quality that you have. You surround yourselves. We're in a spiritual battle. Whether you choose to accept or not, every one of us, we are in a spiritual battle. And you surround yourself with the wrong people and you will be destroyed. God's going to help Gideon to make sure that he surrounds himself with the right kind of people. And so here's my question. Who will you go to battle with? We're all in a battle. We've all got a battle to fight. Who will you go to battle with? Who are you going to surround yourself with? What kind of men, what kind of women do you need to surround yourself with to make sure you don't end up as a casualty? We're going to see some lessons from how God helped Gideon make sure he was with the right people. And here's the first thing I want you to notice. Go to chapter 7. Let me just start reading verse number 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod. So the hosts of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moriah in the valley. And the Lord said again, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead, and there returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. We don't read where God told Gideon that I'm going to save you by the 32,000. He said, I'm going to save you by the 300. God's telling him, Gideon, you got too many. Now that's, you put a pencil that, and that pretty much every one of Gideon's men at the 32,000, they got to kill four Midianites apiece just to break even. The last thing going through my mind would be, we got too many people. But that's what God's telling him, you got too many. And he says this, you got to get rid of those that are fearful and afraid. Gideon, you surround yourself with men in this battle that are fearful, you're going to be destroyed. Now these men, they willingly volunteered to fight. They had faith that God was going to deliver the enemy into their hand. They had a desire to do something. They hated the enemy. But you know what they were? They were afraid of confrontation. Nobody likes confrontation. But you can't battle the enemy without confronting them. See, here's the problem we have today. There are people, and they're afraid to stand against sin. You see it in the pulpits. You see men that get up, and all they talk about is the love of God. They never confront the enemy. They don't want the confrontation. And we're guilty of it too a lot of times. I mean, we invite people to church. We do everything. Tell them about the love of God. But you know what? We don't like telling somebody they're wrong. And I mean, that's what's needed in our day. Here's the thing. You can't fight the enemy without confrontation. And see, fear is contagious. You take somebody that's scared of confrontation, you know what? They'll cause you to do the same. Fear is contagious. You take an army, a group of people, and somebody's scared, and you know what? It just spreads over to everybody. And before long, everybody's fearful and afraid. Let's say I come in here and I tell Brother Bud, Brother Bud, I feel like I need to poke the bear, so to speak. I just need to do something that's just going to confront, possibly just stir up a lot of trouble. And so I tell Brother Bud, I feel like God's laid on my heart. I got scripture. We're just going to have to poke the bear and deal with it. And here's what Bud tells me. You better pray about that. Hey, you do that, you're going to stir up a hornet's nest. You better make sure what you're doing is right. I mentioned it to Brother Brian. And he says the same thing. You better be careful. Man, you're going to stir up a mess. You better make sure. And their reason is they don't want confrontation. I'm just using y'all's examples. They don't want confrontation. And because of that, that's what they're telling me. Guess what that's going to do to me? Well, maybe I shouldn't do that. See, because of the fear of confrontation from a couple people, now I'm second guessing and thinking, you know what, well maybe I shouldn't do that. I go over here and I tell Brother Steve, I feel like I need to just poke the bear. And you just fill in the blank for whatever you want that to mean. And Brother Steve says, you know what, I'll go get my stick and do it with you. You know what that does? That encourages me. That lets me know, hey, I can do this. There's somebody that's not afraid of confrontation that realizes what we're doing is right and he's on my page to help me. That's what God's telling Gideon. Gideon, these men that are afraid of confrontation, you're going to have to get rid of them. You can't go into a spiritual battle with men that are afraid to stand against sin. You can't go into a spiritual battle with men that won't stand against false doctrine. Because if you do, you're going to be destroyed. And so he tells him, you've got to get rid of them. 2/3 of them go home. I mean, he tells them. And they returned from the people, 22,000, and there remained 10,000. 2/3 of his people, they've left. You know why? They're afraid of confrontation. As much as they hate the enemy, they want to fight, they don't like the enemy, they volunteered to have a part in this, but they're really afraid to confront anybody. The majority of the people aren't willing to confront error. The majority of the people are not willing to take on the enemy. They want to. They hate the enemy. They hate what it does, but you know what? They're not going to stand. When it comes to truth, we got to stand. If we're going to deliver our homes, if we're going to do something, we got to surround ourselves with some men that'll stand. Some men that aren't afraid to confront error. Some men that are not afraid to say, hey, that's wrong. The Bible says that's wrong, and we're not going to do it. That's the kind of people you've got to surround yourself with. He's telling Gideon, Gideon, if these men are afraid, if they're fearful and afraid of confrontation, just send them home. Because you'll be destroyed if you keep them with you. And I'm going to tell you, if we're going to fight, we're in a spiritual battle. We're going to surround ourselves with people. You better surround yourself with some men. And you ladies, surround yourself with some women that are willing to stand and not afraid to confront error. That are willing to stand and say, hey, this is wrong and we're not doing that. Because that's what's going to help you. That's what's going to deliver you to keep you from being a casualty in this thing. But then not only that, look at verse number 4 of chapter 7. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will try them there for thee. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth upon his knees to drink. God tells again, Gideon, I'm going to help you again. He says, I'm going to try them for you. We're going to go down to the river, and I want you to watch how they drink. And those men that get down on their hands and knees like a dog and lap water, set them aside. You can't go with them. Here's what this test did. It exposed their carelessness. They were seized men. When they got to that water, they were so focused on the needs and the desires of their flesh, they forgot all about an enemy wanting to destroy them. Brother Bud, when your face is buried in the water, you can't be watchful for the enemy. When your face is buried in the water, here's what you're doing. You've made yourself vulnerable to the enemy. You positioned yourself that you're just an easy target. Their actions made them vulnerable. I want to tell you, you go to battle in a spiritual battle with people that are careless, and it's going to hurt you. A lot of God's people are so focused upon the desires of their flesh, the needs and the desires of their flesh, they get so focused in on that, they forget that they have an enemy that's wanting to destroy them. Hey, that you go back to up here at the beginning of the chapter, the enemy was just north of them. The enemy was close by. The enemy's right there. They ain't even thinking a breath about the enemy. It's all about what their flesh desires. There are people today, they are so consumed and obsessed with fulfilling the desires of their flesh. Amen. And the needs and the things they want to do. And what we want this and we want that. They forget. They forget that there's an enemy waiting to destroy their homes. And you surround yourself with people like that. And here's what will happen. It'll cause you to lose sight of the enemy. They're not watching for the enemy. You surround yourself with people that aren't watching for the enemy, and they will get your eyes focused on other things. And before long, you're going to forget there's an enemy out there. You know as well as I do, you can just listen to the conversation of God's people. We're not discussing the enemy. We're not discussing spiritual things. Most of God's people, you know what they talk about? The things of the world. You know why? Because that's what they're focused on. They've got their head buried in the water, so to speak. And they're focused on all these things, and they forget. There's an enemy, a very powerful enemy, right there waiting to destroy them. And we're all guilty of that. How many of us got up this morning and looked in the mirror and thought, you know what? I've got an enemy that's going to try to trip me today. Hey, I've got an enemy that's going to lay a snare, a trap for me, and try to destroy me, try to destroy my wife, try to destroy my children, try to get sin into my life and destroy me spiritually. We didn't think about that, did we? But you know what? That's what it is. That's what the devil's doing, and we don't give it a second thought. That's why we're such easy targets for him. We don't think about it. Because you know what? I'm sad to say a lot of times, we're just like these men. We're so focused on the things of this world, we forget. We get up in the morning and we start thinking, I got to do this today. I need to make sure this is done. And we got to run over here and do this. And we forget that we have an enemy wanting to destroy us. He told Gideon, you got to get away from these people. You can't surround yourself with them, or they'll destroy you. Gideon, separate from those people that are so focused on desires of this flesh that they lose sight of the enemy. You know what happens when you surround yourself with people that are watchful for the enemy? They help you. That's what protects you. That's what helps save you. You surround yourself with a group of men that says, let me tell you what the devil's trying to do. Hey, have you noticed this is what's starting to take place? And it helps you. But then he not only told them to separate them, he said, surround yourself with the watchful. He says in verse number 5 again, says every and him, the latter part of the verse, and him shalt thou set by himself, likewise everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. Here's what they do. This other group, these 300 men, when they would drink, they'd bow down on them and they'd take their hand. And they're getting their drink. But you know what they're doing the whole time? They're watching for the enemy. They're very conscious and aware that there's an enemy out there waiting to destroy them. Those are the men we got to surround ourselves with. See, here's the thing. The fact is, we don't always see things for what they are. You ask anybody if they have an idol in their life, and here's what to tell you. No, I don't have an idol in my life. You ask their friends and everybody around them if they have an idol, and you know what they'll say? Yeah, they got one. We're blind to it. We're blinded to where we're at. You know what we got to do? We got to surround ourselves with some people that are watchful, that can say, hey, do you realize what's taking place? It's sad, but we don't recognize where we're at a lot of times, and we need help. That's why we need one another. You got to surround yourself with some men that's watchful for error. How many times have you allowed the desires of your flesh to blind you from truth? Something that you know is wrong, something that you know you shouldn't do, but you're so obsessed to something you're wanting to do, your flesh wants it so bad, you're willing to just to turn your back upon all that. You know what you need? You need to surround yourself with some people that's going to say, hey, you're making a mistake. Hey, you need to fix this. You're going down the wrong road. Somebody tell you, hey, you run around for wrong friends. How many of us could admit we could have missed out on a lot of heartache had somebody just warned us to stay away from somebody? We all could. Somebody tell us you're going on the wrong road. You're taking your home in the wrong direction. We got to have some. That's what's going to help us. We're all in a battle. You got to put yourself, surround yourself with men that are watchful, that recognize and see these things. Some men that aren't afraid of confrontation. You know what a true friend will do? He'll tell you how it is. A true friend is, if somebody is my true friend, I surround myself with some watchful men that are true and really care about me. You know what they're going to do? They're going to confront me when I'm wrong. Amen. Hey, they're going to say, hey, Chad, that ain't right what you're doing. And I may not like it, and it may make me mad for a little while, but you know what? They're helping me. That's what we're all in a battle. What we do, we surround ourselves with people that have the same mindset we do. If we're wanting the things of the world, those are the people we surround ourselves with. They're not going to confront us over being wrong. They're not going to be watchful for the enemy. And you know what happens? We get destroyed. That's what happens. Here's my question. Who are you going to go to battle with? Your life and your home, you are in a spiritual battle. You got to surround yourself with men who are not afraid to stand up and say this is wrong. Who aren't afraid of confrontation. And like I said before, sometimes you're the one they have to confront. We don't always see things the way they should. Sometimes they got to confront you. Surround yourself with men that will confront you and are watchful for the enemy. Gideon is going into battle. He knows that he's got to fight. He wants to. He knows God's going to do the work, but he don't know who he needs to have on his side. He can't take all of them. God provided a way for him to know who he needs to surround himself with. And when we get to chapter 7, verse 7, the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you. Gideon, you're going to go to battle, you're going to win, and you're going to come out just fine, because Gideon, I've surrounded you with the right kind of men. But Gideon had to let God do it, didn't he? He revealed to him, he told him, hey, these men that lap like a dog, you got to set them aside. Gideon, you got to send these men, they're fearful and afraid. You got to send them on their way. What if he didn't? Here's what I'm saying. We know many times who we're supposed to surround ourselves with. But you know what? If we don't do it, it's of no value. Knowing who to surround yourself. Gideon knows he don't need to be around the fearful and afraid. He knows those men that are careless, he's got to get away from them. He knows he's got to surround himself with men that are watchful of the enemy. But if he's not willing to do that, he's going to be a casualty. And that's what happens to a lot of God's people. They know what they're supposed to do, but it's just doing it. We're hearers and not doers. Who have you surrounded yourself with? That's my question tonight. Who have you surrounded yourself with, and will they be able to help deliver you in the day of battle? Or will they be the reason of your failure? Let's stand tonight. Ask y'all just bow your heads. I don't know if the Lord spoke to your heart on anything. Maybe you need to come up here and just ask God to just evaluate the people you've surrounded yourself with and see if those are the kind of people who can help deliver you in the day of battle. If you need to come and pray, just say, well, Sister King, please, you come.